Father, we are so thankful that Jesus came. He died for us. He paid the price. But Lord, the grave did not keep Him. And through His life, there is power. Because He did what we could not. That He conquered death. That He broke those chains. And He can do it in our lives as well. God, we thank You for all that You have done for us, how good You've been to us. And I pray now that we would respond to that grace, that we would respond to that love, that forgiveness. And Lord, even right now, we would do so with open ears and open hearts. Help us, Lord, to remove distractions and to focus on Your Word today, to let Your Spirit move in us. Help us not to quench it. Lord, help us to see Him move and see us move for Your honor and Your glory. And we give You all the thanks, all the praise, for it's in Your name we pray. Amen. As you're being seated, our kids are going to be dismissed this morning for Kids Connect. Time for them in the Word. And just meet the leaders up front here. And this morning, let's take our Bibles and turn to Ephesians chapter 6. This is our last message in our series on Ephesians. We have come to the end of it all. So much so, Paul signals for us that in the beginning of verse 10. Because he says, finally. You know, just like a good Baptist preacher. Where he says, finally, and you have 30 more minutes, right? But here we see Paul's last and final application that he's bringing out. And all of this is built on the first three chapters where he has talked about who God is, what God has done for us. Our theology directs our action. And who God is and all of His wonderful grace that He has bestowed upon us and what He's done for us has now given us this action and these things that we are walking in. And now we come to the end of chapter 6 and He is preparing them for battle. You ever stepped into a fight you weren't prepared for? Stepped into a time that you weren't necessarily ready to see and it caught you off guard? Something you weren't always prepared to be ready to take on? I remember in one time in my senior year and playing football, we were playing this one team and we had practiced all week with them lining up a certain way on defense, and as an offense, we were ready and we were going to attack their defense this certain way. We were all prepared. And then we get out there and it's the first play and I run up to the ball and no one was where they were supposed to be. Imagine that. They changed it up. And they were all in different places and all of a sudden there was this guy that was walking up and standing right in front of me. I was the center. I was the center of the line. I snapped the ball and this guy is just standing right over me. I'm like, what are you doing here? You're not supposed to be here. And all of a sudden it was a fight. And it was something we weren't necessarily prepared for. I won the fight. I'm not going to tell you exactly why because I've repented of it later on, but won the fight. Sometimes we step into a fight, we're not always prepared, and Paul is wanting to prepare the Ephesians for the fight that's coming and what's going to happen. So let's look here in Ephesians chapter 6 and look at verse 10. It says, finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces and evil of evil in heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand firm. Stand therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and as shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace. In all circumstances, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one, and take the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. praying at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints, and also for me, that words may be given to me in opening my mouth boldly to proclaim the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that I may declare it boldly as I ought to speak. Here, Paul starts with final exhortation, with finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of His might. It's a command. Be strong. And we are being strong by verse 11, putting on the whole armor of God. In this, Paul is preparing his folks. Why is he giving us this exhortation? Why is he commanding us to be strong, to put on this armor? Because he knows there's a fight coming. The first thing we see in this passage here is we need to prep for a close and personal fight. Notice verse 12, for we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in heavenly places. In case you haven't noticed, we have an adversary, and he does not like the cause of Jesus Christ. He is going to fight against it. Have you ever noticed when your walk seems to be going good with the Lord, something comes in and seems to blindside you? And when you seem to be walking with the Lord and things seem to be going good, all of a sudden something comes and it turns your world upside down. Ever notice that when good things happen in a ministry and things are beginning to happen and the gospel's going forth, there are going to be little adversaries and little problems that creep up here and there to try to distract what all is going on. Because we have an adversary, we need to prep for a close and personal fight. Notice the words, for we do not wrestle against flesh and blood. We do not wrestle. This word wrestle, it means a hand-to-hand type combat. It means close. I don't know about you, I played football and I enjoyed football, and the hitting and all that good stuff. But there was one thing I couldn't do, and that was wrestle. I was not going to wrestle because that was just too close. All right, I didn't need that guy grabbing a hold of me. I didn't want that. That was too close. But that's what we're talking about here. This was a close fight. It's very personal. We have an adversary, and he's out there, and he has schemes, he has devices, he has abilities, he has power that can get into our life in a very close and personal nature. Just because that we know the Jesus Christ, and just because we have a faith in Him, does not always mean that it's going to be without an adversary. There is danger in promoting a gospel that says when you come to know Jesus Christ that everything else just kind of falls into place. A lot of times when you come to know Jesus Christ, you are going to be in the spotlight of the enemy because he sees what God has done to you and he does not want that message to get out. We are in a close, personal fight. And notice the next words, for we do not wrestle against flesh and blood. Sometimes it's very easy for us to focus that this fight, this enemy is coming from another person. And we fight against people. When we need to understand that there is a spiritual nature to what's happening. That spiritual warfare is very real. That the Satan and his armies and his legions are out in this world. And in fact, the Scripture calls them in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 4, for the God of this world has blinded the minds of those that believe not. He is very real. He's very dangerous. And he is out in this world to distract us. It's not that we are warring against people. We are warring spiritually. Against the spiritual power, against an opposition that does not want to see the love of Jesus Christ go forward. And a lot of times that affects us even on the inside. And a lot of times the battles come from our own temptations. They come from ways in which we are being tempted and drawn away. Or just because we feel it. Too many times we get into a mentality of, well, you know, it's going to happen anyway. So why not just go ahead? And we almost give up the fight before we even begin because we know of the emotional stature, the nature that's going to take its toll on us when we jump into this fight. You ever just stopped an argument because you just said, you know what, what's the purpose? Why even continue to go forward? And too many times the devil wants us to get to that point spiritually where we just say, you know what, it's just going to be too tough. I can't fight this battle. I'm just going to take a rest. Take a step back. This is a close, personal fight. And when it's this close, when it's this wrestling, when it's this hand-to-hand, when we have that adversary, as Peter talks about, the devil is like a lion. A roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. You know, a lion doesn't roar on the hunt. It roars after a kill. After it's gotten its prey. So we know he's victorious. We know he's powerful. And it's fierce. It's a mentality of it's going to be you or it's going to be me. And so we have a fight spiritually that's raging. It's not to be directed against people. We've got to understand that we're fighting a spiritual fight. And so we've got to gird up. We've got to use the resources. That's the second thing we see here. Gear up. Use the resources. This fight, this spiritual fight that's going on against rulers, against authorities, against the cosmic powers over the present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in heavenly places. Listen, this spiritual battle, it's going on all over the place. In fact, you can go back to the book of Daniel. When Daniel was waiting for a word from the Lord, and there was an angel dispatched to Daniel to give him a word that he didn't come right away because he was detained by this spirit, this prince from Persia that was detaining the angel getting to Daniel. And there are spiritual forces at war. There are spiritual battles all across this world. You know, Brother Jim was telling me about Venezuela and how the leader of Venezuela was given over to satanic forces. It's happening all across this world. There's spiritual battles that are happening all across this world, which means we need spiritual devices. I remember walking in Thailand as we were at a festival in this town. And they were gathering in the town center. And in the town center was a guardian spirit encased in this glass box. And there were just tables of offerings to this guardian spirit. I mean, tables that some of them had whole hogs roasted sitting on the table. Tables full of food. There were tables full of flowers, beautiful arrangements, tables full of incense, all of this going on. And the people were walking around this town center chanting. There was a type of music, a type of chant that was going on. And I remember Nicole, when we got done, she said, you just could feel a different spirit. There was a different presence there, an evil like none before. This spiritual battle, all of this that's raging, takes spiritual devices. And guess what? God has given us spiritual devices. Be strong in the Lord. Put on the whole armor of God. Look at this, verse 13. Therefore, because of this spiritual battle, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand firm. Now, when you see Paul writing this, I want you to keep in mind who he's chained to at this moment. It's most likely he's chained to a Roman guard. And he writes, hey, take up the armor of God. And he can look right there, and here's a Roman guard with this armor. And so when we look at this armor and we see these different resources that he's going to talk about, you know, picture a Roman soldier. Picture the armor in which he would be wearing and how this is affecting Paul's writing here. Verse 14, stand therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth. The first resource we see, the belt of truth. That's kind of interesting. Of all the things you would think, why did he put the belt of truth first? Think about what a belt does. It holds things in place. for a soldier is very important because a belt would be the spot where they could take their tunic and tuck their tunic in so it'd give them freedom and mobility to fight. It was a place that would hold the sheath for their sword. It would hold their armor in place. And so before we see all these things, the belt was very valuable, very important because it held everything in place and gave them the freedom and movement. What is our belt? What holds us into place? Truth. Truth. We see John 17, 17, Jesus says, sanctify them through truth. Thy word is truth. We have the word of God. We have this divinely inspired. 2 Timothy 3:16. For all scripture is given by inspiration of God. It's breathed out from God. And it's profitable for doctrine, for correction, for reproof, for instruction in righteousness. We have this truth. And you know what this truth does? It holds us together. It holds us together. Hey, when the fight's coming, this truth can hold you together. When it seems like nobody else's words are meaning anything, this truth can hold you together. It's where you can find the words, the promises of God. Have not I commanded you, be strong and of good courage. Where you can see the promise of God. One of my favorite, and some of you have gotten this in a text or in a message from me at some point, Psalm 138:8. The Lord will perfect that which concerns me. Thy mercy, O Lord, endures forever. His truth holds us together. It's His resource. We see the breastplate of righteousness. The breastplate of righteousness. Think about the breastplate. The breastplate was going to cover the major organs, the vital organs. For me, it's going to cover a very soft area. But you think, you know, one of the easiest ways to strike down an opponent is get right to the heart. Go right through. And the breastplate was an armor and a protection for their vital organs. And you think about this, our breastplate of righteousness is our protection for our vital organs. The wonderful thing there about that is this righteousness, it's not your righteousness. The book of Isaiah tells us that our righteousness looks like filthy rags before God. It doesn't look great. This righteousness is the righteousness of Jesus Christ that's been imputed, it's been credited to you. 2 Corinthians 5:20 tells us that He made Him to be sin who knew no sin, that we might become the righteousness of God. We can put on the breastplate of righteousness because of who Jesus Christ is and what He's done for us. And that is good enough to protect our internal organs. It's good enough to protect us spiritually. When those death blows are trying to come at us, we are protected not by our righteousness. You are protected not by what you do, but what He's done. And too many times we try to rest in what we do. You know what? That's why we feel depressed. Because we can never measure up. But Jesus Christ has, and we can put on His breastplate of righteousness. Paul tells us in Romans 13:14, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and do not fulfill the desires of the flesh. Put on the breastplate of righteousness. Then we see shoes, verse 15, and as shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospels of peace. The gospel of peace. We see shoes. Why are our shoes important here? Shoes speak to mobility. When you see feet in Scripture, feet are speaking of movement. They're speaking of action. And when you think of the shoes of a soldier, the shoes of a soldier would have nail studs driven through them so that they could get a grip. You could think of like a cleat. You know, maybe you back in the day had some of the metal spike cleats. You know, they don't necessarily have those around much anymore. But the metal spike cleats, those things that you could really dig in, and those cleats are meant to give you sure footing. They're meant to give you the ability to push forward, to continue to go forward, to be able to stand your ground, not to be easily overtaken. And what is that for the believer? But the gospel. You know what gives us a sure footing in this world? The fact that Jesus Christ came to this earth. He lived a sinless, perfect life. He did so for you and for me. And then he was put on a cross as an innocent man, and his blood was shed. That perfect, spotless blood was shed to cover our sins, so that we could turn from those sins and can walk in him. And then he was put into a grave. He didn't just swoon, he died. And there, after 3 days, the grave was opened. And he conquered death. He rose again. That message gives us a footing that says, I've got a sure footing. I don't have to be moved. I don't care what this world may be able to do to you. I don't care what they may be able to say. As much as it may hurt, as much as the things that we might go through, what can give us a sure footing is that Jesus Christ died for me. And he rose again that I might have eternal life. The gospel gives us the ability to stand firm. Verse 16, the next resource in all circumstances, take up the shield of faith. Now in our minds, we're probably thinking of many different ideas of a shield. You know, maybe one you'd carry in your forearm. But you got to think about the Roman idea of a shield that Paul's talking about here. The Romans would have a shield that could be as high as 4 foot tall and 2 foot wide. It was big enough that a whole soldier could stand behind and take the full force, the full brunt. They would use it in defensive manners. But you got to think, when the arrows would start flying, you're not just going to stand there and hold your shield to the side. When the arrows would start flying, guess what? You've got a shield. You've got something that you can put in front of you. You've got something that says, nope, I'm not going to be touched. And when the fiery darts, when those arrows begin to fly, when the devil begins to attack, it is your faith that can set, that you can stand there in front, that you can get behind, that you can say, not today, Satan. I am behind this shield of faith. Faith is that thing that's rooted in two things: trust and belief and content. We put our trust and we put our belief in the right content. And our faith says that we understand what Jesus Christ has done for us. And we understand the gospel of Jesus Christ. And we've made that personal in our life. And we've repented. We've turned to Him. And we are trusting in Jesus Christ. And so when those darts begin to come, we are able to put our trust in front of them. When you live by feeling, that goes away. When we live by feeling, we're back and forth. We're up and down. We're good one moment, we're down the next. When we live by how we feel, it's going to be that back and forth. Oh, but would you put that shield of faith in front? It gives you protection. To say, I'm going to trust in the content of who Jesus Christ is to protect me against the fiery darts. When those begin coming your way, you can put that trust and you can put that faith in those promises of who God is in front of Him and say, you know what? I'm not going to deal with it. I got a God who's taking care of it. We put the shield of faith in front. We see the helmet of salvation. I don't know about you, but the helmet's a pretty important piece of hardware, isn't it? The helmet's going to protect your head. Think of a Roman soldier's helmet there as it would protect. It was shielded with iron and with metal. They would have some soft padding and fabric on the inside, but they would have pieces that would come down and they would protect the jaw and the cheek, mainly to only the nose and the eyes would be exposed. But it was to protect the head. And what is that helmet? Salvation. Oh, if we know Jesus Christ as our personal Lord and Savior, if we have turned from our sins to walk in the glorious salvation that He has, I don't care what this world can do to you. You have a home. You have a ability to be created as new in Christ. There is this salvation. And notice what it says, and take the helmet of salvation. You know why? Because salvation is what we are given by God. We take it because He's given it. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. We put that helmet of salvation on. We have the sword of the Spirit. Here now we have both an offensive and defensive weapon. The sword of the Spirit being the Word of God. As Hebrews 4:12 tells us that the Word of God is powerful. It's like a two-edged sword. And it's there for both offense and defense. When Jesus Christ was tempted, folks, it's not a sin to be tempted. You will face temptations. The question is, how am I going to respond to those temptations? When Jesus Christ was tempted, He used the Word of God to overcome the temptations. The Word of God is that spirit or that sword that we can use both for defense, to protect, but it's also the very word that we're able to give to someone else, for faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God, Romans 10:17. And we can use the Word of God to share it with others. So we have these six things, these six articles, these six resources. It just doesn't sound right. We need one more, right? Biblically, we need a seventh. Because seven completes things. Notice what he says in verse 18. Praying at all times in the Spirit. With all prayer and supplication. God has given us the opportunity to come before the throne of grace. Because of our justification, because of our salvation, we have access to God, Romans 5:2 tells us. We see in 1 Timothy that there is one mediator between God and man, and that's the man, Christ Jesus. We have access to God in prayer, with all prayer and supplication. Here we take these spiritual resources and we gear up for the fight. We go into the battle prepared, and we have these resources before Him. And then thirdly, we see, let the defense set the tone for the offense. Notice, look at what verse 19 says. He just got done talking about prayer. Notice what he says, and also for me, that words may be given to me in opening my mouth boldly to proclaim the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that I may declare it boldly as I ought to speak. Paul says, now you have this armor. You have these spiritual resources. Gird yourself up. Put them to use. Get ready for that fight. Because those defenses are not meant for you to retreat. Those defenses are meant for you to go forward. Did you notice what is not covered in that armor? It's your back. Because you aren't going backwards. Our defenses are giving us the opportunity to go forward. And also for me, that words may be given to the opening of my mouth boldly to proclaim the mystery of the gospel. That is what I'm an ambassador for. That's what I'm a representative of. That I'm going to go forward, that I'm going to keep going on. That here Paul, chained to a Roman soldier, is saying that I want the boldness to continue to speak. Yeah, it's in chains. I'm in chains because of it. But I want the boldness to continue to go on. Our defense and these spiritual resources in which we've been given are not there so we can just stand still. They're given to us so that we can go forward. That we can take the gospel forward. Not that just so that we can be comfortable. Not just so we can be a uniform wearer. They are there so that we can get in the game. That we can move forward. Our stand against leads to steps forward. As we use these defenses, as we get engaged in this fight, and we're using these defenses and we're walking the best we can, it's giving us the opportunity to push the gospel forward. You know, the gospel is elevated when we walk through those hard times and continue on in faith. And we continue on trusting in Him. And we know that whether or not He saves us through this temporary storm or He provides miracle, a miracle for us, whatever He may do, I'm going to remain faithful. I'm going to put on these resources. I'm going to continue to walk this way. I'm going to walk in this integrity. And when we do, we can continue forward as an ambassador of Christ. When you are going through the hard times and you are still giving God the glory, you are showing Jesus Christ to a world that's watching. They're watching to see, how are they going to respond to this? How are they going to respond to a lost job? How are they going to respond to a bad diagnosis? How are they going to respond against a family issue? How are they going to respond when their bank account is low? How are they going to respond when it seems like everything is attacking them and the weight of this world is upon them? Oh, when we walk with the spiritual resources, we elevate who Jesus Christ is and says, He is enough for me through all the hard times. That's the power of the gospel. Our defenses are set to set the tone for the offense. And when we do that, that's when we recognize that we are being strong in the Lord and the strength of His might. Look again there at that verse 10. This final command, be strong in the Lord. Some days we wake up and we think, man, I've got to be strong today. I have to be strong. Hey, I need an extra cup of coffee to get going today. Hey, I need some this or I need that. I have to be strong today. But what we need to understand is this verb here, this command, this imperative, be strong, is actually in the passive voice. In other words, it means being made strong in the Lord. Our strength, our ability to go through this is being strong, being made strong in the Lord. It's not about our strength. It's not about who we are, and it's all about who He is. It's all about what He's done for us. Paul gives us this mentality as well in 2 Corinthians chapter 12. He says in verse 7, so to keep me from becoming conceited because of the surpassing greatness of the revelations, a thorn was given me in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to harass me, to keep me from becoming conceited. 3 times I pleaded with the Lord about this, that it should leave. But He said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. For the sake of Christ, then, I am content with weaknesses, insults, hardships, persecutions, and calamities. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Being strong is being made strong, and in the strength of His might. When we come to the fight, we don't do it on our power. We do it on the one who has the victory already. The one who has the power. As strong as the devil may be, as much fight as he's going to give, as much hardship and as much pain as he can inflict, there's coming a day when Jesus Christ is going to return to this earth, and it's only going to take one word from His mouth. That is who strengthens us. That's who gives us power. Be strong in the Lord, because we're being made strong in Him. When the fight comes, are you putting on His resources? Are you trusting in Him? Are you trying to do it on your own power? Are you trying to do it in your own thinking? Are you trying to do it with this world's thinking? Or are you going to let Jesus Christ have the power and show you that even in your weakness, He is strong? Shall we stand? With your heads bowed. As we come to this time of response, I want you to look inside and just ask yourself these questions. How am I doing in the fight? Am I engaged in the fight? Hey, if everything seems to be going so smooth, sometimes that means we're not right, walking the right direction. Are you engaged in the fight in that spiritual warfare? Are you in wrestling against things that are not flesh and blood? Are there real spiritual battles that are just taking place in your life right now? And if so, are you being made strong in the Lord? Are you trying to do it under your own power this morning? Are you trying to do it your way? This morning you have an opportunity to lay it all on Him. You have an opportunity to surrender it, to come in your weakness and say, God, it's not by my power, but by yours. I want to boast in your power. I want to walk in your way. I want to put on that belt of truth. I want that breastplate of your righteousness. I want to walk in the gospel. I want to have that shield of faith, that helmet of salvation. I want to use the sword of the Spirit. I don't want to do this on my own power. And when we walk in that way, we will see the boldness come because of His strength. We will see the victories because of who He is. If you need that victory, maybe this morning you need to come and say, Lord, I need to be strong in the strength of your might. And I want to ask, who would be willing to say that? But you know, I'm tired this morning because I've been walking in my way. I'm tired this morning and I'm weak. Because this is something maybe even has been happening for years. That maybe today you need to surrender and say, I need Jesus. And who in our church, after seeing the scripture and putting it in our life, who is willing to say, I need to walk in the strength of His might? I want to see His strength glorified. I want to see the gospel lifted up through my life. Not my power, but His. Who is willing to say that today? Folks, this morning I want to encourage you. Don't go through motions. Don't walk as normal. Today, let's put on His resources. Let's gear up so that we might get in the fight of pushing the gospel of Jesus Christ further. In just a moment, we're going to sing. The altar's going to be open, and if you want to say, I want the gospel to be the power in my life, I want to encourage you. Come to an altar and lay it before Jesus. Maybe if we were more involved in the practice of responding to Him, then we would see less pain and hardship. When's the last time you came to an altar and gave it to Him and said, I want your power and your gospel? So this morning as we sing, the altar's going to be open. Let's come and tell Him, I want it to be your power, not my own. Let me be strong in your might. Lord, work now. Give us strength to respond to you, to do what you would have us to do right now. For it's in your name we pray as we sing.